This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The Supreme Court has upheld the temporary block of the Trump administration's appeal to resume deportations of Venezuelans under the use of the Alien Enemies Act.
The unsigned opinion again makes it clear the Supreme Court will not abide the administration sending any more alleged gang members out of the country without the opportunity to first pose a challenge. And in this 7-2 ruling, the justices say 24 hours notice is not enough, that detainees must be given sufficient time and information so they can contact a lawyer and seek relief in court. Exactly how much time will be for lower courts to figure out for now.
ABC Stephen Portnoy. A manhunt underway in New Orleans after a jailbreak. Authorities say 10 inmates escaped the Orleans Justice Center. One was captured earlier. All are considered armed and dangerous. The sheriff says someone from the inside may have helped them. Cassie Ventura concluded testimony today against her former boyfriend, Sean Diddy Combs, in the sex trafficking and racketeering trial after 4 days of testifying. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Unemployment rates remain low in Wisconsin. With more here, Civic Media's Lisa Hale.
The number of unemployed people in Wisconsin increased slightly in April, according to preliminary estimates from the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics. The Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development announced Wisconsin's seasonally adjusted unemployment rate increased slightly to 3.3% over the last month. That's still 0.9 percentage points below the national unemployment rate of 4.2%.
La Crosse, like many cities of its size in the state, has lower unemployment than the statewide average. The school district of La Crosse is holding several public informational sessions, which they are calling visioning sessions, to get feedback on the future of the district. In the past 2 weeks, district officials have presented materials to the La Crosse Common Council and La Crosse County Board, including a session Wednesday with the county. So far, the district has held over a dozen of the sessions with different groups in La Crosse. The sessions are intended to help guide future decisions and priorities for the school district. If you're renting out your home or property for short-term rentals in Monroe County, you'll now need a license to do so. County officials announced that any so-called tourist rooming houses, including bed and breakfast, short-term rentals, or other lodging facilities, even if they're only being used during the summer, need a license to operate. Property owners have until June 30th to apply for a license. Any place that operates without the license can be fined $750. You can find out more information on the Monroe County Health Department website. A Wisconsin Circuit Court judge appeared in federal court yesterday on charges of obstructing federal agents in an immigration case. With more, here's Civic Media's Stuart J. Waddles.
Judge Hannah Dugan wants her federal case dismissed. In a filing yesterday, her attorneys claimed she's immune from prosecution for actions taken as part of her official duties. Dugan is accused of helping an undocumented immigrant evade arrest at the courthouse, but her lawyers say the prosecution is unconstitutional and violates the 10th Amendment. Dugan remains suspended from the bench.
Dugan pleaded not guilty to the charges in court on Thursday.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
It's the Brewers and the Twins. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, where the Brewers host the Minnesota Twins at AmFam Field, the team announcing they'll celebrate their 25th season with their dome ballpark on July 25th. With appearances from players like Ben Sheets, Prince Fielder, and Corey Hart, the crew has recalled Tobias Myers after placing pitcher Jose Quintana on the 15-day IL with a shoulder injury. Former Brewers third baseman Vinny Capra has been claimed by the White Sox. In Green Bay, I asked Packers defensive coach Sean Dugan about former Cardinals and Giants linebacker Isaiah Simmons, added in free agency.
Right now, I see a really hungry player. He's a very eager player right now, and he's extremely athletic. His versatility is going to be something that's pretty special. I don't think you see a lot of 6'4 guys that are 240 pounds that can run a 4'3. But I see a guy who, just like everybody, he's putting his head down and he's working. He's trying to learn the defense. He's learning the way we do things here. I'm excited about him.
That's Packers linebacker coach Sean Dugan. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy sky with scattered showers tonight and breezy with lows in the upper 40s. Mostly cloudy tomorrow, still a little breezy, highs upper 50s to 60. Sun is back for Sunday, highs mid-60s. Rain chances return later Monday and especially into Tuesday. It's 71 right now.
When a parent sees their child smile, they see hope. Aleem hoped that his son Rajib would have an easier life than he had. You see, Rajib, just like his father, was born with a cleft.
But thanks to Smile Train, both father and son received free, life-changing surgeries, transforming their smiles into symbols of hope. To learn more and support the Global Cleft community, visit smiletrain.org/learn. Smile Train, changing the world one smile at a time.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
I'm as guilty as anybody about this, not talking to real people in person. I'm sorry, I don't believe that texting or video conferencing or any other of that jazz can supplement one-on-one interaction. We as humans need other humans. We need to connect with people. So anyway, that's the public service announcement to start off the week. Get outside and talk to real live humans. You'll feel better.
Catch the Todd Allbaugh Show at its new time. Weekdays 2 to 4 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Todd Allbaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll take a look back at the weekend, including the state Republican convention with our friends at Wisconsin Watch and State Senator Royce on the Joint Finance Committee budget process. Join us.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, LaCrosse's home for The Todd Allbaugh Show.
And not everything I'm going to talk about today is illegal, but everything that I'm going to talk about today is bad for regular Americans.
Now, the Maggie Dawn Show continues.
I'm a geek. I'm a nerd. I'm a data wonk.
From Congress and courts to burgers and baseball.
I talk about food a lot on the show. It's a thing.
I am a foodie.
Once again, here's lawyer and economist Maggie Dawn.
Welcome back, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Happy Friday, everybody. Hope you survived the storms across Wisconsin yesterday. Some pretty significant damage in Dodge County, as well as in the Twin Cities area, including around New Richmond, all across Western Wisconsin and Colby and Marathon County. Again, hope you made it through and are safe and sound rolling into the weekend here. Want to start with a bit of breaking news. If you haven't heard yet, five hardline right Republicans in the House of Representatives voted against Donald Trump's big, beautiful bill that's going to make the rich richer and the poor poorer. Yes, it is reversed Robin Hood. So you might think, oh, why did these Republicans vote against the bill? Maybe they actually want to do something for working poor and working people in the United States. No, they don't. They just want to gut even more of the things that help people keep going in these incredibly hard times. And just moments before we came back on air, word has come through. There is reporting that the United States has just lost its last perfect credit rating. What is a credit rating? Well, we all have them, so do nations. It's what credit rating agencies give to a borrower. The United States, when it issues treasury bills, is effectively borrowing from the folks that purchase those treasury bills. When your credit rating is downgraded, just like our credit scores as consumers, when you are downgraded, it means you are a higher credit risk for default, and it costs more. You have to pay more in interest. Please keep your eye on what's about to happen in the financial markets come Monday morning. This is also likely to drive interest rates up. So remember those cheap eggs, gas, and housing that Donald Trump promised? You know, peace between Ukraine and Russia in a day, all those things. Yeah, ain't happening and not happening anytime soon. Also breaking today, Judge Hannah Dugan, that is the Milwaukee County Circuit Court judge, who was arrested on Good Friday for some, what I'm going to call kind of bogus charges, for basically controlling her courtroom, which she is entitled absolutely to do. Those are federal charges. By the way, the penalties on those, I think, run on the two charges, run somewhere north of 5 years and $350,000 in damages. Well, she has set up a legal defense fund to help pay her attorneys in that case. Now, Make note of this, ladies and gentlemen. This is what someone does when they actually care about conflicts of interest and ethics. Here's what Judge Dugan did with her legal defense fund. There are incredibly tight restrictions on who can donate to this because the judge intends to return to the bench. You cannot donate to the judge's defense fund if you are a Milwaukee County resident. So if you live in the county in which she sits as a judge, can't donate. You can't donate if you're an attorney that practices anywhere in Milwaukee County. You can't donate if you're a lobbyist or work for a lobbying firm. You can't donate if you're another Wisconsin judge. You can't donate if you are a person with a pending case before Milwaukee County Circuit Court, and you cannot donate if you are a county employee. And yes, the only people who can donate are U.S. citizens. They set up a separate blind trust. Hey, That seems to make some sense, does it not? And that trust will be monitored by specialized legal counsel with specialties in legal ethics, and it will be overseen by former Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Jeanine Gieske. Ladies and gentlemen, that's how you do it when you actually care about ethics and conflicts of interest. I say bravo, Hannah. Well done. Also in other breaking news, former FBI Director James Comey is now apparently under investigation from the Department of Justice for posting a picture on social media of seashells on a beach that were arranged to spell out 8647. He posted on Instagram, cool shell formation on my beach walk. In a follow-up post, he said that he assumed the shells were a political message. And he said, I didn't realize some folks associate those numbers with violence. It never occurred to me, but I oppose violence of any kind. So I took the post down. Now, the term 86 used to be used first in restaurant circles, hospitality circles, meaning 86, the shrimp is gone. We don't have any more of that. Let be 86 that. It's expanded to mean 86, meaning to rub somebody out if you're in the mafia. So this is what happened, sort of the errant social media post. Do I think this was appropriate? No. Do I think it should be condemned? Yes. Do I condemn it? Yes. You got to do better than that, former FBI Director James Comey. But did it merit this from National Security Secretary Tulsi Gabbard talking to Jesse Waters? Take a listen.
You know, whatever his intent, I will tell you that there is a guy in Georgia who was issuing threats on my life about a month ago, and he's in jail today. He has been indicted with a crime, as he should have been, and he is in jail as we speak. So whatever James Comey intent, he and people like him need to be held to account according to the law, which is something that he claims to have given his life for and stands by the rule of law. Fantastic. The rule of law says people like him who issue direct threats against the president of the United States, essentially issuing a call to assassinate him, must be held accountable under the law.
Do you believe Comey should be in jail?
I do. Any other person with the position of influence that he has, people who take very seriously what a guy of his stature, his experience, and what the propaganda media has built him up to be, I'm very concerned for the president's life. We've already seen assassination attempts. I'm very concerned for his life. And James Comey, in my view, should be held accountable and put behind bars for this.
Are you frickety fracking kidding me? I mean, I don't know how someone gets through that interview maintaining a straight face. A position of influence and people must be held accountable under the law. I'm sorry. Did Men in Black delete Tulsi Gabbard's memory about January 6th? No one thinks this smacks a bit of hysteria and total hypocrisy and double standards. again, I condemn what Jim Comey posted. It was stupid. But the idea to even suggest that Jim Comey actually means that someone should assassinate Donald Trump is both ludicrous as hyperbole as it is on a literal basis. Jim Comey's too smart to think that if someone actually killed Donald Trump, that would probably create a complete martyr situation. The man would become that. He doesn't want that to happen. I don't want that to happen. Please, no one harm whatever that stuff is on top of Donald Trump's head. Please do not harm hair, floof, whatever, Aquanet, whatever that is. Don't harm the man. I want Donald Trump ensconced in a balloon, a bubble boy area of protective comfort for the rest of his days. I don't want anything bad to happen to the man. No, 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 no. I was enraged when someone tried to kill him. That is so absurdly ridiculous that it beggars explanation. And Tulsi Gabbard knows it. She knows it. And as if there was not enough, completely mind-boggling hypocrisy, I just wanted to share with you this additional little fact from the day's breaking news. We were talking a bit about the Supreme Court's birthright citizenship case that they heard yesterday. I was talking about that with my first guest host today, Jim Santel. And I forgot to note this, again, on the hypocrisy theme this afternoon. Guess who came out and said they think birthright citizenship should go away? Just anyway, I'll give you a hint. I'll give you a hint. A widely reviled senator. A widely reviled senator, maybe a senator who, while half of his state was facing blackouts and bizarre freezing cold weather and people were dying, maybe went on a vacation. Yes, the answer to this question is Ted freaking Cruz said we should get rid of birthright citizenship. Now, if you forget about Ted Cruz, he was born in Canada and his dad was born in Cuba. Now, is Ted Cruz a citizen? Yes, he is. His mother was an American citizen. But again, I think that Ted, you might want to try that one out before you ride it off into the sunset. Might be a little bit of a bumpy ride on that one. Hypocrisy seems to be the theme of the day. The Republican Party saying that they're for middle class and working people while providing the largest tax cuts to 100 millionaires, billionaires, and mega corporations. Yeah, that's what they're debating today. Actually, that their tax cut plan would reduce the net income of the poorest Americans and would likely not help at all the vast majority of the middle class. Yep, that's hypocrisy number one. We got Tulsi Gabbard, hypocrisy number two, calling for the former FBI director to be jailed. And hypocrisy number three, Ted Cruz, telling everybody that he doesn't believe in birthright citizenship. Doesn't get much worse than this. Ollie from the Northwoods, what you got for us this afternoon?
Well, just a little bit of hypocrisy by way of our new king. Wasn't it him who reposted, just as Comey did, a picture of Biden on the back of a truck where it looks like Biden's dead? Trump reposted that, and none of the Republicans called for his arrest.
Yeah, Ali, that's the point, right? The brand of the Republican Party is rules for thee and none for me. It is two sets of operating rules. One for Democrats. You got to tell the truth. You got to have ethics. You got to be above reproach. And we can say all kinds of inflammatory, incendiary, violence-inducing things, and nobody bats an eye. In fact, we'll pardon January 6th insurrectionists that beat the crap out of cops. Nothing to see here, folks. When I come back, we're going to discuss what real system change looks like. because we got an example of it right here in Wisconsin, right here in Milwaukee. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm also going to be dropping the word of the day. It's Free Ticket Friday. You want to get your Brewers tickets? Keep it locked right here. We'll be back after these brief messages on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Eagle 1490 AM.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. After the election of liberal-leaning Justice Janet Prosewitz in 2023, Wisconsin State Assembly and Senate maps were challenged in the Wisconsin Supreme Court and subsequently thrown out as unconstitutional. But justices passed on a challenge to the congressional districts. With April's election of liberal Justice Susan Crawford, pro-voter groups are trying again for a fairer congressional voting map. In early 2024, the legislature ignored six fairer maps and adopted Democratic Governor Tony Evers' least change compromise map, later allowed to stand by the U.S. Supreme Court. GOP candidates were elected to six of eight congressional districts with only 50% of the statewide vote in 2024. Two challenges were filed May 7th and 8th, one by the Elias Group, contending that the Least Change Directive had no basis in the Wisconsin Constitution, and the second by the Campaign Legal Center, argues that Evers' map ignored traditional redistricting norms, splits too many counties, and didn't equally apportion the districts. A record $100 million was spent by both sides in the recent Wisconsin Supreme Court race. The current margin in the U.S. House is 220 Republicans to 213 Democrats. We've linked to the filings and local reporting at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Matinee on air.
Corrine Hendrickson, she owns a daycare center.
Between 2010 and 2019, 6,000 child care programs closed. When COVID hit, they were like, we can't do this again. So they invested in us. And now our state is going to be one of six. They took the federal dollars, but our state does zero. You're looking at 25% closing. I am likely going to be one of them.
This would be good to know if you would like to perhaps call your representative.
Yes. Catch Matinee on air at its new time. Weekday mornings, 9 to 11 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Everybody, happy Friday afternoon. We're cruising through the afternoon. Hopefully you're cruising home from work. Please drive safely out there. My name is Maggie Dawn, and you're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Let's start with the fun stuff, shall we? It is Free Ticket Friday all summer long, all across the Civic Media Talk Radio Network, from morning until the afternoon. In each one of our shows that comes to you locally, in your neck of the woods, we are dropping words to win during our talk programs. All you need to do is text that word to win using the Civic Media app. You can get that app wherever you get your apps from for free. You text that in, you'll get a bounce back text that acknowledges that we've received it. And then on Monday, you will be notified if you are one of our lucky Free Ticket Friday Brewers Ticket Giveaway winners. We're giving away four club-level seats, beautiful view of the ballpark. Today's tickets are for this coming Wednesday, May 21st. There's a 12-10 game versus the Baltimore Orioles. Ooh, I do love me some Baltimore. The Wire is one of my favorite shows of all time. I have been in Camden Yards. It is gorgeous. But this game, ladies and gentlemen, is at AmFam Field. Again, if you want to win four club-level tickets to the Brewers game for this Wednesday, May 21st at 12:10, just text in the word WIN. That is W-I-N as in winning, WIN, W-I-N, via the Civic Media app, and you will be entered to win four wonderful tickets to this coming Wednesday's Brewers game. But let's get back to the news business. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about system change and how damnedly difficult it actually is. And I want to talk about the Milwaukee public school system. MPS has been, I think, an example of lack of good governance, lack of good fiscal controls, lack of good oversight, right? And they are, again, today there was some breaking news that the state is looking at withholding funding because they continue to fail to produce the fiscal reports that they need to. There's a new superintendent, and she's been doing a lot of things. She's brought in new auditors. She's looking to reduce the amount of administrators that are in central office, trying to move positions back into the schools. There's a lot happening here. Big systems produce big, complicated, challenging system problems. And there was also a bit of news this week that the Milwaukee business community, including Bader Philanthropies, Baird, Greater Milwaukee Foundation, Herb Cole Philanthropies, the Milwaukee Metropolitan Chamber of Commerce, Northwestern Mutual, Rockwell Automation, We Energies, and Waco, that they're going to commit $500,000 to help Milwaukee public schools implement and address the system changes and problems that were identified by independent auditors over the past year. And they did this because they believe in the new superintendent. According to Greater Milwaukee Committee President Joel Brennan, he said that MPS Superintendent Brenda Caselius has, quote, set a tone about her accessibility, her sense of urgency on the job, and the enormity of the task in front of her. And I wanted to use this as an example, as a contrepoint, as it were, to what Donald Trump has been doing with the federal government. Real system change is difficult. It's time consuming. And oftentimes, while you must move with urgency and focus, it requires some level of consensus building, not just with the people directly involved, but with all stakeholders. I know this. I have worked to reform systems myself. I did it running one of the City of Milwaukee's retirement plans. I built it, rebuilt it from the ground up. I did it in the Office of Corporation Counsel for Milwaukee County. It took me a couple of years at least to do that. But the feeling of change, I will say, the illusion of change, the smoke and mirrors of change, that's pretty easy to do. It's also easy to just break things and not actually fix them or improve them. It's even easy, English, Maggie. It's even easier, in my opinion, to tell people that you're changing things, give them the illusion of change, and actually be not just breaking it, but biasing systems to benefit a select few. When people have distrust of systems and institutions, if you come in, you brand yourself as a change agent, you say, I'm doing this, and everybody says, yes, let's go do this. And nobody's really watching how you're, quote, fixing the system. Maybe you're just, you know, giving handouts to your buddies. In my opinion, if you contrast all of the deep embedded system problems in NPS and all of the ways that we know that that system has to improve, and you contrast what NPS new superintendent Brendan Caselius is trying to do in partnership with the business community, in partnership with the teachers' unions, in partnership with the school board, in partnership with the greater Milwaukee community writ large. Boy, does that stand in sharp contrast to the, I'm going to tell you I'm fixing the problems, but what I'm actually doing is just breaking the whole damn thing and taking the scraps and handing them out to all my favored cronies and the wealthy, which is what Donald Trump is doing. Beware the snake oil salesman of change. Real change is hard. It takes time, and oh yeah, it takes some level of competence. When we come back, we're having that favorite Friday segment called Ask Maggie, where you get to ask me whatever the heck you want, and I, at least hypothetically, have a time-delimited period to answer your questions. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked. Ask Maggie's next.
You're listening to the Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matinee on Air.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. The entire state endured a severe weather outbreak, with over 30 tornado warnings issued last night. Now, the National Weather Service offices are out surveying the damage. NWS Twin Cities is looking at St. Croix County, where a tornado was reported seen on the ground, with pictures and videos of it near the town of Roberts, and it looked to be headed towards New Richmond. The skies were green, and this is just 45 minutes outside of Minneapolis. Meanwhile, near Eau Claire in Altoona, softball-sized hail came crashing through windows, busting out windshields on cars, and doing some damage. NWS in La Crosse is in Clark County today, looking at 3 to 4 different spots where twisters may have struck, like Loyal to Colby, which is just about 35 minutes west of Wausau. And the NWS Green Bay is in Marathon County in the Rib Falls area, surveying damage and possible touchdowns in Cronin weather, too. Ping pong ball size hail was reported near there, as well as Stevens Point, where strong rotation was also seen near Plover. The NWS Milwaukee is in Juneau and Mayville in Columbia County, which is about an hour away from downtown Milwaukee. There, roofs are reported ripped off of homes, damage to buildings, power lines down, and trees. Before Thursday, the state had seen 7 tornadoes so far this year on April 28th. 3 of them were rated EF1s and 4 were EF0. EF1 tornadoes have wind gusts of 86 to 110 miles per hour. It's based on the Enhanced Fujita Scale damage indicators. So a tornado is actually rated on the damage it does. And this could take some time. I know that the National Weather Service offices are still planning to look at more areas tomorrow, too. For Civic Media News, I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. There is nothing like some good movie buzz. Even though Mission Impossible: The Final Reckoning won't be released here in the States until May 23rd, it's created quite a buzz after premiering at the Cannes Film Festival. The premiere was accompanied by a 40-piece orchestra that welcomed the audience and sounds like it was an amazing evening. Variety reports Tom Cruise received a 5-minute standing ovation from the crowd after once again pulling off his own death-defying stunts in the film, despite being the tender age of 62. He addressed the crowd, thanked the crew, and said goodbye to the franchise in front of the enthusiastic crowd. Tom Cruise, ladies and gentlemen, from teen heartthrob to a bit of an outcast to now quite possibly the greatest movie star ever and a pretty darn good actor as well. Can't wait to see this film. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy sky with scattered showers tonight and breezy with lows in the upper 40s. Mostly cloudy tomorrow, still a little breezy, highs upper 50s to 60. Sun is back for Sunday, highs mid-60s. Rain chances return later Monday and especially into Tuesday. It's 69 degrees right now.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Hello, Bluey.
Talking with our pal Stuart J. Waddles. This is an episode of Bluey that Stuart turned me on to. I like this show so much. Would it be weird if I left my wife, remarried, and had kids with someone else just so I could watch Bluey with my new set of kids?
I don't think it'd be that weird. I've heard a weirder.
You have?
Make a great story.
You get the exclusive.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
I used to smoke. I thought of cigarettes as my best friend.
They were always there for me when I needed a break.
I also thought cigarettes were my best friend, and then they gave me peripheral artery disease.
I smoked and had a stroke. Actually, multiple strokes.
I smoked and have heart disease.
Here's my tip. If cigarettes are your friend, you need a better friend.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the CDC.
Pat Kreitlow.
Pat's still on vacation, but he returns soon, we promise. But for now, we have the return of Bach and the Doc. Dr. Kristen Lierley sits in the big chair, and we go over all the news from the weekend. Join us.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
Everybody, hope you're having a fine afternoon. Welcome and welcome back if you're rejoining us. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Well, every Friday we've been doing this little segment called Ask Maggie, where you, the listeners, can ask me basically anything you gosh darn want. And the catch here is I either get 20, 30 seconds, or maybe if Jamie's feeling really generous, a whole minute to answer your imponderables. Jamie, of course, is my senior producer. She joins me now for this great segment. If you want to send your questions in, you can do so on the text line. You can email us at askmaggie@civicmedia.us. We take those all week long. Again, that's askmaggie@civicmedia.us. You can even give us a buzz, 855-752-4842. Jamie, how you doing? It's nice you're in Milwaukee this afternoon. I'm going to be able to see you after the show.
I know. It's very exciting. I got to tell you, though, I'm exhausted. My kid is working me really, really hard. I'm here because I'm going to be hosting MATC, Milwaukee Area Technical College's Student Ops Day, where they basically take over PBS tomorrow. And he needed a host. I told him I should be 52nd in line. Turns out he went through all 52 choices, and here we are. This is what we do for our kids. I'm exhausted. I have been over at the studio since like 7 a.m. and wrapped up literally about 15 minutes before the show started, and got here today so that, you know, we could have a little radio fun and create a little radio magic at the same time. So.
Little radio fun. Speaking of a little radio fun, we are in the midst of Free Ticket Friday. Remember, yes. If you want to win 4 tickets to this Wednesday's 12:10 Brewers game against the Baltimore Orioles, use the Civic Media app and text the word WIN, W-I-N. Remember, all of the rules of the contest you can find at civicmedia.us/contest-terms. Just go to Civic Media's website. You can find the rules.
Text it. There. Just text it through the app. That's easy.
That's right. Text through the app, WIN. You'll get a bounce back acknowledging your text, and we will let you know on Monday if you won. But let's see what listeners have for me this Friday, Jamie.
Before we get started, we've got this really fun new intro that, because of all the breaking news on Fridays, we haven't even got to roll this out yet. So, Jacob, let's hit that because I'm so excited for you to hear it.
Yay.
It's time to get your questions answered, Wisconsin style. Welcome to Ask Maggie, a rapid-fire round from politics to pop culture. So buckle up, Buttercup. It's Ask Maggie, and we're about to take your questions at lightning speed.
Isn't that great?
Oh, my gosh. Awesome. That's amazing, Jamie. Thank you.
Of course. Got to have a little fun. If you haven't noticed, we're going with the game show theme, where it's a little bit like, whose line is it anyway? Points don't matter. You're not going to win anything, but we're going to have a whole lot of fun at the end. And so the last couple of editions of Ask Maggie have been more on a serious note. So I feel like we should do maybe a couple more serious, but have a little bit of fun today as well. Is that okay with you?
Yeah, I could use some fun.
Okay. All right. So the first question that we're going to ask today is from Amy, and she texted in from Onalaska, and she wants to know, Maggie Dawn, do you have any big plans for the weekend? So Jacob, we'll give Maggie 30 seconds for this one. If you've got any big plans.
Well, first of all, my plan is to have a drink with my amazing senior producer, Jamie, after my show this afternoon. We might have a little bite to eat. Tomorrow, I've got dinner with my mom and dad. A week later, celebration of Mother's Day. I'm not a big out to brunch person for these sorts of events, so dinner it is. And maybe, maybe the opera Carmen with my mom on Sunday. Did you read that the woman who's singing the lead in Carmen, I think her name, I'm blanking on her name right now, but she's from Sheboygan originally, and she has sung with the Metropolitan Opera in New York City. She's quite talented, so looking forward to that with my mom. It should be awesome. Good fun.
Awesome. We're going to have a little bit of a family day as well, because not only is the kid hosting and producing this live show, my baby's graduating from college tomorrow as well. So it's of a big deal.
Congratulations your family.
Thank you. I'm very excited. And then the 18-year-old, since we homeschool, we've got to finish up some math, and then he'll eventually get to the graduation part too. My kids are not pomp and circumstance kids, though. Never have been. So I never got to do the dances, right? No proms, anything like that. They weren't pomp and circumstance over high school graduation. And now tomorrow, mom will be working, and the kid's literally going to walk across the stage. He's going to get his diploma, and then he's going to run back to PBS. So he's like, "You don't really need to be there for that, mom." I was like, "Seriously, I don't get anything."
Graduation ceremonies are kind of a drag. Unless you have like the best commencement speaker ever, they're kind of a drag for everybody involved. The kids are itching to get out of there, so are the family. They just want to see their kid walk across the stage.
So I don't even know if we get that tomorrow, but that's besides the point. Your weekend sounds awesome, and again, like a whole lot of fun. So let's get to another question, though. Let's do, I don't know. What do you think? Maybe I'm going to give you a minute on this one, because it's a little bit of the economics and tariffs, all right? And Jim actually just called in. Jacob just got to speak with him. He is from Kenosha. And Jim's question is this: why does Walmart charge such a markup and pass tariffs on to the customer? So 1 minute for this one when you're ready, Maggie.
Well, if we zoom way out, there's been such consolidation in so many industries. So whether or not you're talking about on Walmart's grocery end or on their retail end, Walmart can actually shrink their input or their purchase price of the supplies that they need or the things that they're selling to you because they have such market power, right? Which means on a per item basis, even if Walmart's margins shrink a lot, they're still going to make a profit. Now, what happens when you've got inflation or tariffs and it drives prices for retail goods like clothing, sneakers, school supplies, or groceries up, is that a lot of retailers, even when inflation comes down and even when tariffs peel off, will keep their prices high because now their margin is huge. And I believe it's something like 90% of Americans live within 10 minutes of a Walmart. So many of our friends and family rely on Walmart for their basic groceries and household goods and just everyday items. So, excuse me, one of the things that I think has gotten lost in a lot of this discussion is the fact that so many industries across the United States have consolidated to such a degree that a very small handful of companies, and I mean like five or six or less, can, without getting in a room, almost price fix at a level that is above where it would be if there was a healthy, healthy and robust competitive market. So thanks for that very nerdy, wonderful question, Jim.
It is a good question. And Walmart just made big news yesterday because they were on the news networks. They're one of their financial advisors or financial gurus, I'll call him. I don't know what his official title was, talking about how because of the tariffs, they're going to start have to increasing their prices. And that's overall going to affect people all across, as you were saying, across the country. So that is a really good question. And I think you've been talking about this. We're just starting to see what the tariffs are going to create for the average family, right? I mean, this is just the tip of the iceberg.
Even with the rollback in the Chinese tariffs, we're still at the highest average tariff rate that our country has seen basically since post-World War II. And what's particularly pernicious, Jim, and just to talk about, we talked about this with Richard Trent of the Main Street Alliance, I believe, on Wednesday, which if you missed that show, you can go find it at civicmedia.us or on Apple Pods or Spotify, is that for small businesses, if their margin shrinks and shrinks and shrinks because tariffs have gone up and they do not believe they can pass that tariff on to their customers, or customers stop buying their goods because they're so much more expensive, that small business just goes under. Walmart and other massive, what I'm going to call mega corporations, are much more easily able to absorb parts of tariffs and or uncertainty over a period of time simply because of economies of scale. Economies of scale generally means if you have large-scale market integration, in other words, vertical integration or horizontal integration, all these business school terms, you're so big that fluctuations kind of smooth out for you. That's like the really distilled down way to explain that.
Yeah.
So again, tariffs really ultra painful for small businesses. That's why, again, talking with Richard Trent, we're going to be looking at, I think, tens of thousands of small businesses going under. We're going to see, I think, increases in bankruptcy filings and the like because of this prolonged uncertainty and this extraordinarily high tariff level. And, of course, consumer confidence released today, some reports on that, the lowest it has been in a very long time. Consumers and businesses freaked out. What does that mean? Businesses hold on to cash, consumers stop spending, it tightens up the economy, you can end up with stagflation, which means the economy isn't growing, it's either stagnant or actually shrinking, meaning GDP isn't going up, and inflation. Okay, I've gone on far too long. Thank you, Jim from Kenosha. I've just nerded out about econ on
it's important, and it's totally cool that you're nerding out about it, because we have to keep having these conversations, because real people are going to be affected. And I think what you just said is important. I mean, this kind of feels like the George W. Bush, at least it could feel like the George W. Bush economy on steroids. That's kind of what it feels like. And that's kind of the looming feeling I continue to get as we kind of wiffle waffle back and forth on all of this tariff talk. And one day it's this, one day it's not. One day we're rolling things back, one day we aren't. I mean, it just feels like an entire recession, stagnation, inflation, like I said, on steroids. That's what it feels like right now.
Well, it's like just bust out Ferris Bueller's Day Off and listen to the back and forth in the high school economics class that explained that Smoot-Hawley and the tariffs imposed then drove the United States deeper, deeper, and deeper into the Great Depression. Yeah. We don't want to see that here. Thanks Jim from Kenosha, for your excellent question.
Good question. Okay. Do we have time for one more this segment?
Yes, we do.
Okay. All right. No. Jacob says no.
No, we do.
Oh, gosh.
Listen, Jacob is the boss of both you and I, Jamie.
He's the time overlord, and that's cool. Somebody's got to be that, right?
Someone's got to do all the heavy lifting and hard work around here.
You've got a minute and 5 seconds, ladies.
Yeah, right?
Oh, okay. All right.
That's we can do a 20-second question.
Can we do a 20-second? We can do a 20-second.
I'll ask it
really quickly. A really quick one. This came in on the text line, and the question is, what is your favorite beer? Porter Stout, Scotch, Ale, Lager? This person, I'm sorry I don't have your name because I'm looking at it quickly in our chat. 20 seconds, what's your favorite beer?
I love a red ale. I am one of those weirdos. Love a red ale. That is my jam. Thanks so much to Jamie. Thanks so much to each and every one of you for your questions. Remember, you can submit those. Ask Maggie at civicmedia.us or on our text line, 855-752-4842. When we come back, I'm going to have some closing thoughts on the passing of Justice Souter and what he stands for, an exemplar for lawyers, judges, and Americans alike. Keep it locked.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person,
That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic Sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Keeping you connected to your local community with good news and great conversation. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's a hit. Milwaukee Brewers baseball cards are being shared in several communities across the state. The partnership is with police officers in Green Bay, La Crosse, Kenosha, Milwaukee, and Madison, and meant to be an icebreaker between the cops and kids. Here's Brewers President of Business Operations, Rick Schlesinger.
Eventually want to do it to more than just the major cities. We're trying to get around the state as best we can and to sort of engage with our friends around the state. We're a statewide team. We're not just a Milwaukee team.
So see an officer, ask for your own comic book style baseball cards featuring all your favorite Brewers players. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
Matt and Air on Air.
Corrine Hendrickson, she owns a daycare center.
We're doing this day without childcare. What we do is we talk about what would happen, what would it look like if we didn't have childcare. But we also talk about what could it be? What can we do to change the system? I love all the protests. I love all the people speaking out against things. But we also need to participate in democracy by saying what we want and what we need and talk to our reps that way. So that's what this event is all about.
Catch Matt and Air on Air at its new time. Weekday mornings, 9 to 11 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
LFG, baby. Let's go.
Do you know who the king of LFG is? Tom Brady. Before every game, he runs to the crowd, screams LFG, fist bumps, and runs back.
He could be saying, let's floss gingerly.
No, he doesn't say the acronym.
Let's floss gingerly. Whatever reason, it gets the team wound up.
Okay. That intimidates the opponents right there.
He gets it done.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Teachers are dynamic leaders shaping a new generation. They bring a variety of perspectives from diverse backgrounds, innovating how they teach to prepare students for our fast-changing world. They're skilled experts, discovering a universe of solutions, telling stories, inspiring, mentoring, connecting cultures, leading by example. Teaching is a journey that shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
Welcome back, everybody, and happy Friday. Welcome if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. So former Supreme Court Justice Souter died last Thursday. And he's most well known for being a Republican appointee who did not follow Republican orthodoxy as a Supreme Court justice. And the phrase, not another Souter, became sort of the rallying call amongst Republicans. I wanted to talk about him a little bit because I actually think Justice Souter provides not just an example for lawyers and judges about how to be a great lawyer, how to be a great judge or justice, as the case may be. But I think he provides an example to every single American about what actual patriotism is in this moment. Because one of the things that I have noted is that it is so difficult, and in my opinion, very much difficult, very differently difficult, for Democrats or liberals or progressives to have a calm discussion with fervent Trump supporters. In contrast, I find it the case that many Democrats will concede points, acknowledge uncomfortable truths and facts when confronted with them by Republicans and especially the MAGA faithful. We'll acknowledge that there is middle ground. We'll point out extremism when we see it. In other words, I think, generally speaking, Democrats are more likely to have a fair and good faith argument and discussion about policy and politics. And I wanted to read for all of you something that Justice Souter wrote. He was speaking about how to be a great judge, but what he really was saying is to be a great American, we must be willing to be even-handed, open-minded, humble, and then careful and explicit when we are arguing about a legal case or about policy and politics. So I wanted to share this with you. I found it again, courtesy of Georgetown University Law Professor Stephen Vladek. So here it goes. This is Justice Souter. He was writing about another legal historian that he admired. And the language is you know, a rich, but stay with me here because I think it's quite powerful. Chronic even-handedness compels a judge to come out and say what he or she was really choosing between. The torment of competing reasons forced the judge to face the very facts that placed his principles in tension. And not just to face the facts, but to heft them and feel their weight until finally the needle of his mind moved off dead center. The account of judge and man and their mutual integrity are companions. Not about what a judge's judging was, but about what anyone's judging ought to be. To place evidence out in plain sight, to explain your reasoning unhurried, that the analysis has no shortcuts, that there are no stretches lost from sight behind some edifice of generality, that your relentless honesty in testing evidence and treating issues create an atmosphere around each case and each question. Every judge has common obligations to be suspicious of easy cases, skeptical about clear-edged categories and bright-line rules, to be modest in the face of precedent, candid in playing one worthy principle against another, and to have the nerve to do it in concrete facts on an open page. We are all urged to hunt for, quote, general guidance from close examination of the particular, acknowledging that details spark the intuition and real judging gets done from the ground up. So we come to a judicial paradox that we have no hope of serving the most exalted without respecting the most concrete. Judicial duty points to Blake's grain of hand. It is what the old common law judges understood and what Antoninus knew, whose strength never failed him until he lost touch with the earth. While I cannot tell you what I will do with the dilemmas, the cases already on the way to my court, I think I will know enough to treat with them by being the kind of judge that common law requires. To know that you haven't got the answers up your sleeve, to not prejudge, but to decide the cases as they come along. This lesson is so simple. Justice Souter took his obligation to analyze questions as they come along without pre-deciding them, without adherence to team or tribe. This is every American's call to action today. I say, not never again any suitors. We need more justice suitors. We need you to be a justice suitor. That's going to do it for me. Stay tuned for Pete Schwabba. I'm Maggie Dawn. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But it is always better when we stand together.
Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. In New Orleans, the hunt continues for escaped prisoners. 10 in all walked out overnight from the Orleans Justice Center. Police capturing one prisoner earlier today, but say the 9 others remain on the loose and are considered armed and dangerous. ABC's Maria Villarreal says authorities reviewed videotape of the facility, and it appears they may have had help.
But one of the things law enforcement talked about was that this is a location where you can't escape on your own. Even though they were able to get through their cell and through a toilet that was attached to their wall, in order to actually get to the outside wall, they actually had to have help from someone outside.
The Supreme Court has upheld the temporary block of the Trump administration's appeal to quickly resume deportations of Venezuelans under the use of the Alien